What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how's your bracket doing? Because mine is not too bad so far. I mean, usually, by the time we hit the Final Four, I'm lucky if I've got one team left. Well, I still have three out of four of my Final Four teams up in this bitch, which is just crazy, but that is just how this March Madness is gone. The number one teams have done what they're supposed to do. That's why they're all the number one teams. A couple of them have had some close calls, but for the most part, they've all been doing what they're supposed to do. So, you know, in the Elite Eight, Auburn versus Michigan State, Auburn took care of business. I mean, Michigan State started off like it looked like it was going to be, oh, wow, Michigan State's really going to show up for this one, and looked like it was going to be a good game. But, and I mean, it was a good game for the most part, but Auburn pretty much held their own the whole way, and they were able to get the win and move on to the Final Four. And then the Florida versus Texas Tech game, now that was a great game. Texas Tech, honestly, should probably have won that game. They had a lead for a good chunk of this game, and it just was Florida was just way too much for them. Florida's superstars really started to step it up when they needed to step it up. And they got the win, 84-79. But like I said, that Texas Tech team, I'm not shocked that they were able to take it to Florida like that. And Florida is arguably the best team in college basketball. And they really got taken to the mat with that one. But they ended up getting the win, and they got pushed to the brink. And that's exactly what you want to do headed into the Final Four. Then we had Duke versus Alabama. Duke smashed Alabama. This one wasn't even close. It was absolutely suffocating. Straight up basketball from Duke the entire game. It was not close at any point. It didn't look like Alabama had a shot, and Duke easily moved on in that one, 85-65. And then we had Houston versus Tennessee, and that was another one where Houston pretty much just dominated the whole way. I can't remember. It was, they had like, I think they had like a record score. Or score differential compared to what Tennessee had going into halftime, something like that. I could be thinking of a different game, but I'd actually be thinking of that Duke-Alabama game. But regardless, this Houston game versus Tennessee, it was all Houston all night, and Houston moves on to the Final Four. So our Final Four matchups next weekend, we have Auburn versus Florida, which is going to be a good one because these are two SEC teams who have played each other already in the season and played great games, by the way, against each other. So we'll see what happens in this one. And then we have Duke versus Houston, which I think is going to be another good one. Just because those two teams really have been flying by. I mean, Houston did get, it was a pretty close one versus Purdue in the Sweet 16. But I mean, overall, Houston's pretty much just trucked on through. Duke is pretty much just trucked on through. Hell, Auburn and Florida pretty much as well. I mean, Florida, that was pretty much their biggest test was against Texas Tech. So we'll see what happens in the Final Four matchups next weekend. But my bracket is still solid and intact because I had my Final Four as Auburn versus Florida, which it turned out to be, and Houston versus Arizona, which, no, that did not happen. Duke ended up there. And my championship is still intact as well. I have Auburn versus Houston with Houston as my champion. And I'm feeling pretty good about that Houston pick still. I mean, the way they played against Tennessee, that is exactly why I picked them to win it all. They play great defensively. They play great offensively. And they just are an all-around really damn good team. But this is going to be, I mean, this is the first time since 2008 in March Madness that we've had all number one teams headed to the Final Four. So that just goes to show that that doesn't happen often. But there's a reason why these teams are number one. So these should be some excellent close matchups too. I don't expect not only the Final Four, but I don't expect the championship to be a runaway from any team either, because these are easily the best four teams left. I mean, you can make an argument for each team as to why they could win it all, because each team plays great defensively, each team plays great offensively, they have superstars, they have great coaching, and that is why they are here in the Final Four. So that's what we get to look forward to next weekend. Moving on to baseball, it was opening weekend. I'm not going to be doing power rankings for baseball until next week because obviously we only have the weekend games basically under their belt. But basically the two World Series representatives picked right up where they left off last year. You know, you had the Dodgers winning it all, and then you had the Yankees going to the World Series. And wouldn't you know it, both teams remain undefeated after the weekend. And the Yankees look damn good. As I said to start the season, I was not worried about the Yankees. I know a lot of people were because of all the injuries that were going on, but they still got Aaron Judge, and I expected a lot of these guys on their roster to step it up and have a good season. And to start the season, they look pretty damn good. So they swept the Milwaukee Brewers, and it was a home run fest from the New York Yankees. As a matter of fact, the entire team throughout the weekend ended up racking up 15 home runs. As a matter of fact, in the Saturday game, the final score ended up being 20-9. Yeah, that's right. They scored 20 runs. And Aaron Judge had 4 of the home runs over the weekend as well. He had 3 on Saturday. Saturday's game was crazy. I was watching that game. And to start the game, it was back-to-back-to-back home runs. And then every time Aaron Judge came up, I mean, one of them was a grand slam. Then the third one, it just knocked out of the park. The fourth, it looked like he was going to hit a fourth home run, but it just fell short. But I mean, it was a dominating weekend from the Yankees as far as home runs go. Now everybody's making a big deal because the Yankees this year actually have redesigned their bats. Within the legal parameters, by the way, but since they went off on the home runs this weekend, everybody's throwing a fucking temper tantrum, acting like it's some sort of cheating when it's actually not. As a matter of fact, you should want your team to actually start looking into this new way of structuring their bat. Basically, it's called a torpedo bat, and it kind of looks like a bowling pin, basically, where it's pretty fat in the middle. Not every player on the Yankees is using it. Aaron Judge, as a matter of fact, said he's not using it, and I don't know why he would, because he's been knocking them out of the park with what he's been using, so I don't see why he'd need to switch it up. But a few of the guys did, and who knows, maybe that was helpful, but maybe it wasn't. You never know. But regardless, everybody's making a big old deal like they're cheating or something when, no, they're within the legal parameters. And actually, you should want your team to say, hey, maybe we should look into this new way of designing bats, and maybe we should let our players decide if they would like to use it or not, instead of being a bunch of whiny cunts over the first weekend of baseball, by the way. This is opening weekend of baseball. Ain't shit being decided this weekend, okay? Yeah, we got 4 undefeated teams right now, and that's who I'm talking about, by the way, for the weekend. But don't expect, I mean, yeah, sure, some of these teams could end up in the World Series, but let's cool our jets. It's opening weekend. We got a long-ass way until the end of the season. So Yankees swept the Brewers, and they are undefeated to start the season. Then the Dodgers, like I said, picking up right where they left off last year. They have not only swept Detroit this weekend, but, you know, they started off the season 2 weeks ago now in Japan, and they swept Chicago as well, so they are undefeated, and they're picking up right where they left off as well, too. Otani's already got 2 home runs on the season. Mookie Betts, he did not play in the Japan series because he was so sick that he lost a whole bunch of weight, and he finally was able to play on opening day, and he played this weekend. Well, he got 2 home runs, so he seems to be feeling good. Freddie Freeman had a good weekend. Their pitching looked solid. So, I mean, the Dodgers and the Yankees are right back where they ended last year, and that is playing excellent baseball. But the other 2 undefeated teams right now, we have the San Diego Padres, who swept the Atlanta Braves. Not only did they sweep them, they kicked the crap out of the Braves. Tatis had an excellent series. Jackson Merrill had an excellent series. Their pitching was pretty solid, but it is the first weekend of baseball, and so who knows if we could trust the Padres, but that's a great way to start the season, especially against a Braves team that's very stacked, but really got their asses stomped in a couple of these games. And then the last remaining undefeated team on the season so far is, shockingly, the St. Louis Cardinals, who swept the Minnesota Twins this weekend. Their pitching was solid. They got Eric Feedy, who had a good game, Sonny Gray, who came out and pitched a gem. Then they also have this new catcher, because they switched, I'm drawing a blank on, their catcher from last year. Now he's moving to mostly either a DH type of role or first base. So they have a new catcher, Pedro Páez. He hit a home run and 3 RBI in, basically the game winner against the Twins over the weekend. So looks like they might have a good catcher coming up in the ranks here, taking up taking the veteran spots, but he looked pretty good. But like I said, this is the first weekend of baseball, so you can't get too high, you can't get too low, especially because some teams did get their asses beat. But I mean, long, long way to go. But was not shocked to see that the Yankees and the Dodgers are still dominating the league, and I expect those two teams to continue to dominate the league. And I would not be shocked if we have a repeat of the World Series last year, especially at the rate these two teams are playing. Moving on to the NBA, my top 10 NBA power rankings for this week, we are getting closer and closer to the playoffs, and so there's not going to be a lot more movement with these teams. There might be, there's one that's kind of shooting up a little bit, but I kind of stopped them because I don't really believe in them, even though they're playing really good right now. But other than that, it's pretty much the same usual teams here. Same number one this week, beginning with the Oklahoma City Thunder. 62-12 on the season, currently on a 9-game winning streak. They, of course, you know, the first team to eclipse 60 wins on the season. They're blowing everybody out of the water. This past week, they beat the Sacramento Kings, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Indiana Pacers. None of these games were close. They were all straight-up domination. Oklahoma City's just ready to get to the playoffs. Then at number two in my top 10 NBA power rankings, the other team that's just ready to get to the playoffs, that is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They eclipsed the 60-win mark over the weekend. They are 60-15 on the season, 5-5 in their last 10 games. So kind of up and down, but they're now starting to get back. You know, they kind of had just a little bit of a losing streak after that 16-game winning streak. But now they seem to be back on track, especially this week. They got wins over the Portland Trail Blazers, the San Antonio Spurs, lost to the Detroit Pistons, and then beat the Los Angeles Clippers in a close one. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 55-19. They are currently on an 8-game winning streak, and this is just another team that is just ready for the playoffs. I mean, they're playing great right now. This is exactly how you want to head into the playoffs. They smashed Sacramento, they smashed the Phoenix Suns, and then they smashed the San Antonio Spurs. Them in Oklahoma City right now, they are just ready. They are just ready to go for the playoffs because they're basically just playing to, I guess, just keep on playing and get ready for this playoff run that they've got going. But even with the Tatum sprained ankle, didn't matter. The Celtics still are playing out of their minds and just ready for a playoff run. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 47-28. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Chicago Bulls, but got wins over the Milwaukee Bucks and the Utah Jazz. Nikola Jokic is back from his injury and looks better than ever. Everybody else on the team is starting to step it up as well. Gordon, Murray, Brown, and Westbrook as well. They really are starting to gel at the right time. And we'll see what happens with them. I mean, they still have a couple of weeks to go, but you definitely want Jokic back for your playoff run. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 45-29. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Orlando Magic, beat the Indiana Pacers, lost to the Chicago Bulls, and beat the Memphis Grizzlies. Right now, they do have a big three that is emerging. Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves are looking damn good. And you also have Hayes in the middle. He's really starting to do some big things. I really like what I see from him in the paint. He's really stepped it up. It kind of felt like he was just going to be a role player this year, just a guy who kind of stepped in every once in a while in garbage time or whatever. But he's actually turned out to be a really solid starter and has really made the most out of when he comes into the game. But to me, this is a big three between Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves, especially Reeves. Reeves has really turned it on since the All-Star break. He was not affected by this trade at all. As a matter of fact, it kind of feels like maybe it empowered him just a bit more, because even when LeBron and Luka are not in the game, Reeves is completely reliable. My only issue with him is that he tends to throw up the three shots too quick sometimes rather than let a play develop, but I just kind of feel like that's the league these days. I mean, Luka and LeBron do that sometimes themselves as well, but it's just, I see it from Reeves a lot, and sometimes I'm like, dude, just pass the ball, just set up the play, and you pass the ball around a few times, you're going to get open. But I mean, he's become extremely reliable. And like I said, even with LeBron and Luka out of the game, or whether it be they're just not playing the game due to injury or they're taking a rest, it doesn't matter because Reeves is out there and he's playing at a high level. And I really like what I see from the three of them. They seem to be getting more and more in sync each and every game. they're playing well, both offensively and defensively. And like I said, at the time of the Anthony Davis trade, I was worried that they were going to suffer defensively by trading him away, and they've actually improved, and they actually are still playing well. I still worry about them and their consistency because, you know, I mean, you look at how they played this week, it was up, down, up, down, up, down. It kind of seems to be their theme. And, you know, when you're going up against a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder, or even the Denver Nuggets, it's like these teams seem to be a little bit more consistent, especially the Thunder. The Thunder have no consistency issues. That's why I'm like, you're going to have to really get it going, but hopefully over these next 2 weeks they can get it going and play a little bit more consistently. But still, this big three is emerging between the three of them, and may not be this year that it fucks with everybody, but you better look out for it next year if LeBron stays with the Lakers and doesn't end up retiring. That's a big three that's going to be taking over the league next year. That's for damn sure. Even if it's not a big three, though, Luka and Reeves have an excellent... They just play so well together. I just like what I'm seeing from them. They're just passing the ball to each other well. You could just tell that they see each other across the court when nobody else does, and I just love what I'm seeing from the both of them. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, moving up a bit, and I feel a lot of people probably think they should be up above both Denver and Los Angeles Lakers, but I don't, simply because I still don't really believe in them, even though they're playing good basketball right now. And that's the Houston Rockets, overall record of 49-26. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. So they're playing excellent basketball. This past week, they beat the Atlanta Hawks, the Utah Jazz, and the Phoenix Suns. But it's just, I've said it all season, I don't really believe in them. They're going to have to prove it to me once they hit the playoffs. And truthfully, like, I kind of feel like no matter who they go up against, I feel like they're going to be one and done. And even if they're not one and done, I don't see this being a team that's headed to the Western Conference Finals either. So I just kind of look at them. They're a very exciting team. I think they've got a great future, especially with what they've built this season. I feel like if they get, you know, they're like one superstar away from being a really excellent team. I think they just need one more dude. And who knows who's going to be available next year? Who knows what's going to happen? But I just think this year they're making strides. They're looking good, but I just don't believe in them, especially once we hit the playoffs. And I do think Denver and the Lakers are better than the Rockets just overall. If they were to face off against each other in the playoffs, I would take both Denver and the Lakers over the Houston Rockets any day. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 43-32. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Indiana Pacers. They beat the Phoenix Suns, and they beat the Detroit Pistons. And they also have a big three of their own that's really starting to take off as well. You know, Anthony Edwards, there's no question he's had a phenomenal season. Gobert, he did not start off how you would expect a multi-time defensive player of the year would start out, but he seems to have finally got his footing and really has been dominating the paint, especially against the Detroit Pistons. He was murdering them in the paint over the weekend. But a big, huge help has been getting back Julius Randle ever since he came back from his injury. Their defense has improved extremely. I mean, it's just... It's a complete 180 from what it was when he was injured. But he also is great on the boards. And he also provides you a nice source of offense if Ant's getting double teamed or anything of that nature. But they do have a nice solid three here. They do have an edge, I think, on other teams when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. But they're also another team that I look at and they're not as consistent. They have their moments, but then you're like, what's wrong with you? So we'll see what happens with the Timberwolves, but they are starting to play really solid basketball at the right time of the year. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 47-27. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Dallas Mavericks, lost to the Los Angeles Clippers, beat the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Portland Trail Blazers. They also clinched a playoff spot this week. They've become the fourth team to clinch a playoff spot overall in the season right now, the third Eastern Conference team to clinch a playoff spot. It kind of goes to show you how weak the Eastern Conference is right now because the Knicks, they're playing better, a lot better. Karl Anthony Towns seems to have taken over the captain role, if you will, since Brunson's injury. He's now kind of stepped it up and has actually been playing really well over the last week and a half. But it did take them a while to get used to no Brunson. And you could just tell they are not they are not a legitimate team without Brunson. They are going to 100% need Brunson for any type of playoff run. I mean, they are well behind Cleveland and Boston in the Eastern Conference. Hell, I would probably, if the Knicks and the Detroit Pistons end up in a playoff matchup, I'm probably going to take the Pistons over the Knicks if they don't have a solid Jalen Brunson. He ain't got to be 100%, but he's definitely got to be a difference maker for this team for them to go anywhere. And real talk, I probably would take Detroit over them if they don't have Brunson. But they did clinch a playoff spot, so they are headed to the playoffs. They just better cross their fingers that their dude's going to be there, or else they have no shot. I would not be shocked if they were a one-and-done team without Jalen Brunson playing in the playoffs. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 42-33. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the San Antonio Spurs, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And they've actually been playing excellent without Cade Cunningham. That win over the Cleveland Cavaliers was without Cade Cunningham. He's been nursing a calf injury. I think it's more of a precautionary thing. They want him to be nice and solid for the playoffs. Can't blame them for that. But, you know, everybody else is stepping it up. They have not lost their edge at all. They're playing great defensively. They are dominating the paint. And they just play great team ball. To me, they are similar to the Houston Rockets, where I don't really believe they're going to make it to, like, the Eastern Conference Finals. But I definitely think Detroit is going to make some noise. I mean, this is the one of the greatest turnarounds in the history of the NBA from going from worst to first. I mean, they literally were historically one of the worst basketball teams of all time last year, and now they are going to the playoffs. I mean, they haven't clinched a playoff spot just yet, but the way the standings look, they are probably going to the playoffs, and that's just crazy to see. We'll see what happens, but I definitely will not be surprised if they make some noise come playoff time. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings of the Golden State Warriors, overall record of 43-31. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Miami Heat, but beat the New Orleans Pelicans and the San Antonio Spurs. Steph did make his way back over the weekend from his injury, so it didn't look like that hip injury turned out to be anything debilitating. He is on minutes restrictions, basically, but for the most part, Steph is back. And this team's playing really solid. Like I keep saying, I feel like the Warriors are not a team anybody in the Western Conference wants to start their first round off with. Because even if you get by them, you are going to get worked by this Golden State Warriors team. They are not slouches. They are not chumps. And with Jimmy Butler there, he is playoff Jimmy. And you got Steph, you got Green, you got their coach. They did have an injury over the weekend with Kuminga, I believe it was. So they did lose somebody over the weekend. But, I mean, just to me, the Golden State Warriors have too much championship pedigree for anybody in the Western Conference to overlook. And the Western Conference is stacked. Seeds 2 through 7 are pretty much, like, rotating on a daily basis. And so all the wins and losses on the Western Conference side are really, really starting to pile up and really starting to count. And we'll see what happens in the end here, but the Golden State Warriors are guaranteed to fuck up somebody's day, and you don't want to face them in the first round of the playoffs. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Friday.